You're listening to SBS News.
With just over 2 weeks until the start of the 2022 World Cup in Qatar, both of Doha's international airports are preparing for an influx of passengers to pass through their gates. Organisers expect around 1.2 million visitors to make their way to the country for the tournament, which kicks off on November 21st, and a winner to be crowned on December 18th. Most visitors will pass through Hamad International Airport, which became Qatar's primary airport and home of national airliner Qatar Airways in 2014. However, the doors of the older Doha International Airport have been reopened to help accommodate the influx of visitors expected for the tournament. Most national teams are expected to fly to the smaller airport, which will also welcome regional shuttle flights and chartered planes from nearby destinations, including Dubai, Kuwait City and Jeddah. But it doesn't come without controversy.
This FIFA World Cup, a tournament of peace and unity, will be the one that brings the world together after some difficult times. And let me repeat it clearly. Everyone will be welcomed to the tournament, regardless of their origin, background, religion, gender, sexual orientation, or nationality.
A gay Qatari doctor, Dr. Nasser Mohammed, with asylum in the United States, has questioned that statement from FIFA President Gianni Infantino.
Well, I can tell you I'm not welcome in Qatar, so that statement is false. See, what does that mean? What does that actually mean, right? To me, from my perspective, it means two things to me. One, it's a message for us locally. We're going to be allowing people and we're going to let them do whatever they want, but this is not for you kids. This is for the people visiting. So it's kind of like I have a message to say, stay in line. But then that vague qualifier, right? Is such, so when you say LGBT fans are welcome, to me, it's very different from saying LGBT fans will be safe. And when you say they're going to be welcome, and then you add that qualifier, but you have to respect our culture and tradition, it seems like a ticket out for when something goes bad, because you can just deflect the blame to the victim if something goes wrong. And I agree, there are many different cultures and traditions. Abuse and exploitation don't belong in any of them. And that's what the LGBT community in Qatar experience. And that is not something to be celebrated.
Dr. Nas Mohammed is speaking out against the host country's record on LGBTIQ plus rights. The 35-year-old owns a primary care private medical practice in San Francisco, California, and he publicly came out earlier this year.
So this year, as the conversation has been building up around the World Cup and different human rights issues, including LGBT rights, it became apparent that this is now the first time ever like LGBT issues in Qatar are being discussed. And they were disproportionately skewed towards PR and marketing for the World Cup. And that narrative being the only narrative out, I thought was going to be very consequential on the LGBT community there that are not safe, that need to get out. So that was the biggest motive for me to come out. Right now, I think if a fan goes to Qatar to enjoy the games, then they should just focus on their own safety at this point. I really think that needs to be something that they should keep in mind. Although the Qatari authority, I don't believe, is going to actively seek and persecute LGBT visitors during the competition, because it kind of defeats the whole purpose of them holding it. I just worry about their resources to protect them if something goes wrong during the competition and if they get attacked by the public. So definitely would say watch out for yourself, go there, watch the game and leave.
Liverpool boss Jurgen Klopp says players and managers must not be repeatedly asked to stand up for migrant workers and human rights issues in Qatar because nothing was done when the country was awarded the World Cup 12 years ago. Qatar has come under intense pressure in recent years for its treatment of foreign workers and restrictive social laws, leading to many participating teams raising concerns, although the country has denied claims that workers were exploited. However, with the tournament less than 3 weeks away, Klopp says it's time to let the players and managers focus on their jobs rather than be standard bearers and leaders for protests.
It's not about this generation's players to say now that we have to, that they, we don't go or we don't do that. These are the players. The tournament is in Qatar and the players go there and play the game. The decision was made by other people, and if you want to criticize anybody, then criticize the people who made the decision, not the sport, not the competition, and not, for sure, not the players. So, and now it's not fair as well that we expect from them that they go there and make big political statements or whatever. It's just not fair.
While spectators have their eyes on the action, the spectators will be watched from the host country's new World Cup command center. Facial recognition and artificial intelligence generates a wealth of information, so officials can be ahead of any problems. Command and control center boss Nias Abdulrahiman explains.
This center is connected to 8 World Cup stadiums that are located in different parts of the country. From this facility, we have the capabilities to remotely manage a number of operational functions such as facility management, safety, security, surveillance, and IT support operations. There's a highly advanced technology platform behind this command center, which is the world's first connected stadium platform, and this has been accomplished through a very complex integration of a number of subsystems in the stadium, such as CCTV or building management systems and digital signages and other audiovisual system, all integrated under one technology platform.
As kickoff draws near, players, including the Socceroos and advocacy groups, have become more vocal on Qatar's human rights issues. Attempting to address this, FIFA has written to participating teams, including Australia, to focus on the football and avoid engaging in other battles. Amnesty International says if FIFA's bosses wanted to shift the focus, there is a simple solution. FIFA should finally start tackling the serious human rights issues rather than brushing them under the carpet. Marcus Megaloeconomos, SBS News.